Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus. And at the end of those 3 years, you read in Acts 20 that he said, I did not hesitate to proclaim to you the full counsel of God. There is such a thing known as the full counsel of God, and partial proclamation of that counsel, or what God has given us in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just the forgiveness of sins and going to heaven. Unfortunately, if you ask the vast majority of born-again Christians, and perhaps some of you sitting here as well, you can think of the gospel as Christ is ready to forgive sins, he died for our sins, he rose again, and we have a place in heaven. We want even our children here to know the full counsel of God. So here, Colossians chapter 2, it says here, just two verses, verse 14 and 15. He cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. That's number one. The law of God is God's law for man. And what was given in the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, was in a nutshell. But when Jesus explained it, he went into the depth of it and he said, murder begins with anger, so get rid of that. Adultery begins with lusting with the eyes, so get rid of that. So the law of God was pretty deep. And every human being has violated it. What is the definition of sin? Romans 3:23 is a well-known verse. All have sinned, and then, you know the rest of it? Come short of the glory of God. That is the definition of sin. You got it now. Sin is to come short of the glory of God. It's in that same verse. So the next question comes is, what is the glory of God? I know as a young Christian, I also used to think of it some bright light in heaven, a blinding light, that's the glory of God. No, that was how it was in the Old Testament. John 1:14 says, the glory of God was seen in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was a bright light. You know, the fire on top of the tabernacle, blinding light that you could not see. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, such a blinding light that the disciples fell on their faces. But for us, the glory of God is not a blinding light. It is the life of Jesus Christ. The glory of God was seen in Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. So now you put that here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? The life of Jesus Christ. All have sinned. And what is the definition of sin? Coming short of the life of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll never forget this simple lesson you've heard this morning. All you children. Anything less than the life of Christ is sin. In your speech, if you don't speak like Christ, it's sin. You don't behave like Christ towards others, it's sin. Your thoughts, if you're not thinking the thoughts that Jesus thought about it, it's sin. In your actions, if your motives are not the motive that Jesus had in his actions, it's sin. And when you define sin like that, it's not so easy to say that we are finished with sin. You'll be pressing on every day. Lord, I want to be more like you. In other words, I want to be more free from sin. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I say this to you because I'll tell you this. I've lived for 64 years and been around almost every denomination there is, and the major denominations anyway, and traveled to many countries. And I've discovered that the vast majority of born-again believers do not have this understanding of sin. And because of that, they think I'm free from sin. No, you're not. They don't have a passion every day to become a little more Christ-like. I'll tell you honestly, I'm discovering things in my life now that are unChrist-like, which I did not know last year. Don't be surprised at that. If your child says, I'm in the fourth grade now and I was in the third grade last year, are you surprised? No. Well, he was in the third grade last year. He has to be in the fourth grade this year. It should be. The tragedy with many Christians is they are in the kindergarten forever. Forever and ever and ever. Their glory is, my sins are forgiven. It's like saying, I joined school. That's great, brother, sister. You joined school, the school of Christ. But which class are you in? The same class you're forever in? I sin. And I have the favorite verse. If we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can live in that verse for the rest of my life and I'll be in the kindergarten all my life. Whereas in Hebrews 6 verse 1 it says, let us leave aside those foundational principles and press on to perfection. In CFC Bangalore, we have that verse on our pulpit. Let us press on to perfection. A constant challenge to the holiest man on earth and to the new sinner. The one who joins school, kindergarten, let's press on. Get to the first grade by next year. The one who's finished high school, press on. Go to college. The one who's graduated, press on. Do a postgraduate. The one who's done a postgraduate lesson, press on. Do a PhD. The one who's done a PhD, press on and get on to some post-PhD courses. That is the Christian life. Never satisfied with the level I'm in. So here's one. Cancel the certificate of debt. I have a debt to God because of sin. Some of that I know, some of it I don't know. But the Lord is merciful. He forgives us all our sins and brings us into fellowship with Him. And not only forgives us, it says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. That is the Spirit of Christ. And when you forgive others, it must be in the same way. Your sin, which you did against me, I will not remember anymore. Otherwise, you're not following in the footsteps of Christ. To forgive is just one part of it. You can't forget it. Do you know that God has not forgotten our sins? What does He say? Does He say, I have forgotten your sins? No. He says, I choose not to remember. I will not remember. I mean, if God has forgotten my sins, then my memory is better than God's. Because I remember my sins. It's ridiculous to think God has forgotten our sins. You cannot forget the evil people did to you. That is impossible. Don't pretend that you're forgotten. God doesn't ask you to forget. God says, say, I will not remember. In other words, when I look at you and when I meet with you, I choose not to remember all that you did. That is the way we forgive others. We've got to be realistic. We've got to think through the scriptures. We must read scripture and meditate on it. Then we understand what I've just been telling you. If you've meditated on it, you know that already. And so, the debt is cancelled out. So, whenever a person sins against God, it's a debt. And Christ cancelled that debt on the cross. And He says, I will not remind you of that. That's finished. Now, when we forgive others, when you sin against somebody, there's a debt you owe him, whether you know it or not. Every sin that you committed against anyone is a debt, whether he knew about it or not, doesn't matter. I mean, if you stole somebody's money, he didn't know that you stole it, but you have a debt to him. So sometimes we sin against others in a way which the other person doesn't know, but it's still a sin. It's like stealing his money. It's a debt, and you have to clear that debt. Jesus cancelled out the debt, and we got to forgive one another exactly like Jesus forgave us. It'll be in your mind because we have no control over our memory. But we don't live in our memory. One of the things we have to learn in our Christian life is we have to live in our will. Not in our memory. People get discouraged because they don't live in their will. They are reminded by the devil of so many things. So what? I've chosen in my will to serve the Lord. So that's where I live all the time. Therefore I live with no condemnation. That's what every one of us must live in. You must live without condemnation every moment of your Christian life. Otherwise, you will not progress, my brother, sister. The debt has been cancelled out because that was hostile against us. And He took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. That's the number one message of the gospel. There is no debt. It's like if you owed somebody $1 million. You're scared to meet him. If you see him coming down the road, you go the other way. And if you're scared to come before the Lord, it's because you feel there's a debt still to be cleared. But if you're absolutely sure the debt was cancelled out completely, you got the certificate, the debt is cleared, then you can look up into your Heavenly Father's face, straight into the face, and rejoice because you know the debt has been cleared. Like you see that guy whom you owed $1 million and somebody paid it for you. You can see him face to face. He cannot condemn you anymore. He can't take you to court anymore. It's been cleared. Are you absolutely sure? We've got to teach our children that there is no debt when you have confessed something. You don't have to keep on confessing. I remember in my younger days, because somebody never taught me this. I never, you know, in my entire life, I never heard the gospel presented like I'm telling you just now. I never heard it. I don't know how many of you heard it in some other place where you heard the gospel. That your debt was cleared. And so I would have a hesitation whenever I came before the Lord in prayer. Oh, I've done so many wrong things. I never knew that the debt was gone. So I want everyone here to be free from condemnation because of the blood of Christ.